Hello, everyone, and welcome to Real Chat with Kat, a podcast dedicated to offering a growth mindset platform for us entrepreneurs, where we discuss everything from business, mindset, to life in general. I'm your host, Catherine Polsonelli, a business organizing powerhouse, personal development strategist, and owner of Agent Services Plus, a company focused on helping entrepreneurs just like you build, grow, and be courageous in their business. I'm so excited to have you with us today. So grab a cup of coffee or your favorite beverage and get ready to have some amazing conversations and fantastic takeaways. Let's jump right in. Hello, hello, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us today on Real Chat with Kat. During this episode, I'm so excited to bring to you guys today, Dia, with me. So thank you so much for being a part of the podcast today. Please give us a little bit of information about who you are, what it is that you do, and what got you into that.
Kat, thank you first for allowing me to join you. You're such a fun person, and I love being with you. So I tell people that I'm from South America because I was born and raised in Mississippi. I've lived in Alabama, two places in Georgia, and two places in Florida. And that's pretty much South America. And now I've moved north.
Uh-oh.
North Carolina. People think that's still South. It probably is. So I have moved over 15 times over our married life, almost married 50 years.
Oh, congratulations.
I got married when I was 12. Don't start adding up the numbers. Anyway, and have been blessed with over three decades in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, I had babies. So we collected eight, and we have 19 grandchildren. Six of
my goodness.
Eight are married, and we just had added our last one December 21st.
That's my parents' anniversary.
Oh, perfect, perfect, perfect. So what I'm passionate about all starts from when my growing up. Stop and imagine, Kat, think about when you were 5 years old.
Oh, goodness.
I know. For some, it may be like yesterday, and for some, it may be decades. But think about when you were five, and what was your life like? Can you picture a scene of a typical day when you were five? Got that?
Yes.
Well, a day that I remember when I was five was sitting with my classmates in the grass in the front yard of Miss Annie's preschool. We were making pink clover necklaces. The reason that is significant is those classmates are the same people I graduated from high school with.
Wow.
I didn't do all that moving until after I got married. I grew up in that same small Mississippi town. And when you say a small town, what numbers do you think? Do you have any idea?
Oh, 300 to 500.
Ooh, that is small. We had 5,000. We
were okay.
Metropolis. The thing is, everybody knew who I was, and I knew everybody. That gave me a sense of community, a sense of belonging, a place where I knew I had security, I knew my surroundings, I knew my life. And just like we all do, whatever your five-year-old life is, you were thinking that that was normal because it was your normal.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought everybody grew up in a community and had a sense of belonging and identity. I mean, that was my normal. Isn't that everybody's normal? No. So after my husband graduated, he went to graduate school to get his Master of Divinity. He became a pastor. We moved to Central Florida, 13 hours away from anything or anybody I knew.
Oh, wow.
And it was like, what? I mean, no longer when I said, hey, I'm Dia. And they'd go, oh, hey, how's your mom and him? You know, that means in the South, for anybody not in the South, that's how is your mother and all of your relatives, and tell them I said hello.
Love that.
So I would say, hey, I'm Dia. And instead of, we're like third cousins, I would get, and I mean, it was for the first time in my life, I felt the pain of isolation, of not belonging, of no identity. Mm-hmm. And I have been on a mission in everything, everywhere we've been, as we pastored churches for 40 years, we built community. I made sure that people knew that we were glad they were there and included them in the community. I've done that when I owned a tea room in North Georgia Mountains. That was so fun. I made sure that it was an opportunity for the people that came in there to know that they had value, that I saw them, that I got to pamper them. I called it an elegant escape on the square.
Ooh.
Because it was, you're never supposed to have a restaurant on the second story, and you're never supposed to have it in the back of the room. Well, so you go up the stairs in this historic building to the back of the building. But I had that for 7 years. And the whole time it was, you are special, you are valued, and just building that culture. And even now, while I'm a real estate agent, I want all the people I work with to know they matter, that mm-hmm. I see them, and that I want to serve them because they're awesome. And so that's what I'm about. Did I answer the question?
Yeah, I love that. Yes. So what is it that kind of got you into, you know, doing real estate then, and kind of being this connector and communicator that, you know, you've kind of cultivated over the years? And do you have plans of extending that even more?
To get into real estate, I thought, well, we are going to eventually be empty nesters.
True.
It took 45 years. My husband is going to retire one day. And we like food with our meals. So I was going, you know, what can I do? What can I do? And it was a little late in the game to start on a corporate ladder. And I didn't want to be tied down to a 9 to 5 or even a 5 to 9 or, you know, through the night. And I thought, I love people. I love serving people. Be a real estate agent. So that's how I got into real estate. And that has been great. As I have considered the state of the union, so to speak, as I've talked to people and learned about people, especially in the business world,
mm-hmm.
with the great, well, hello, did anybody experience a shift in life in 2020?
For sure.
That also, you know, where, how can you find community? What can you tell people to encourage them? And then businesses, the great resignation, people mm-hmm. dropping off, and quiet quitters are people that show up, check the box, but they're not engaged. And so they're not productive. And in the midst of figuring out how to explain what building, being a part of a community, what belonging means, I developed an acrostic that, well, I just happen to have it here. that people don't just want to be connected. They don't, they want to be claimed in a belonging sense, in a positive sense. People want to be connected, not like, or belong, not like to the library. They want to belong like the TV show Cheers, where everybody knows
you. I love that show.
Yes, yes. And that was what I grew up with. And having everybody know your name when you're growing up is good, unless you get out of line and Aunt Pat calls your mom and tells you. But Jane told her that Martha had said, and then you hear it. But that's that accountability, that's great. It keeps you straight. I probably was a better person growing up than I could have been. But no, people don't just want to be connected. They want to be claimed. They want to belong. And each one of these is a facet of belonging. And if people know that they are each one of these, then they know that they can feel like they belong. They can see how they fit in. They can imagine what, you know, how great life is because they belong. So do you want to go through it? You want me to briefly?
Yes, please.
Okay. For our listening audience, I know you're just dying of curiosity. What are those letters for? The C. People want to know that they are. Do you want to guess?
Oh, no.
It's okay if you don't remember. If you don't remember, that's great, because then this is more fun to play.
I should have my cheat sheet in front of me so I can feel smart.
Because the listening audience doesn't have a cheat sheet.
That is true. They do not. Okay. So
what does it want? They want to know that they are C. What does the C stand for?
Well, I guess I can't really use claimed.
Correct. I can't, because that's the whole picture.
Comforted.
That's the next one. It doesn't start with a C, but it's a different word. Now they're chosen.
Chosen.
Yes. Did you have a PE class where, okay, it's dodgeball Friday. We're going to have two teams. You're a team captain. You're a team captain. Well, the team captains felt pretty special to be chosen as the team captains.
Yeah.
And then the first person chosen on the team is really, you know, they're going to, well, like the draft. Man, and NFL draft, NBA draft, chosen. What? But then there's always that kid that wished they were in the library reading a book. Whatever, however you have been chosen or not been chosen, it has impacted you, your psyche. Why do I never get picked? Well, there must be something wrong with me. Whatever.
Yeah.
If you can help your people know that you are choosing to work with them, you are choosing to spend time with them, that you see them and you're including them, then that is part of the sense of belonging, because they know they're chosen. Make sense?
So true.
L, this one, you can get that one. People want to know that they are
loved.
Yes. They want to know that they're loved. And think about if you're a parent with your children, this is it gives them a security. They feel safe and non-judgmental. It's not a conditional love. It's not a, I'll love you if you'll clean your room.
Yeah.
I'll love you if you do the dishes. It's, I love you in spite of. And it's not, I love you because you do such a good job. No.
Mm-hmm.
That's communicating. If you don't do that, I'm not going to love you. It's the same thing in the workplace. It's the same thing in a relationship with someone.
Yeah.
Also the same. All of this can apply to at work, in a nonprofit, with your family, with your significant other, or with yourself. Choose yourself. I am important. I need to love myself. What is it that I need to let myself know that I love myself?
Yeah.
So the A, what people want to know that they are
accepted.
Almost. That's chosen. Acknowledged.
Acknowledged. Dang it.
Yes. I wish we had live chat. So if you got it right, put it in the chat. You know, that first step that when the toddler lets go from cruising and takes that first step and is videoed and blasted everywhere, everybody applauds it, makes them feel so good.
Yes.
We never grow out of that.
No, very true.
We like to be, you know, if we do, it's like, hey, did anybody see that? That was really good. We want to be acknowledged for what we do. We also mm-hmm. want to be acknowledged that we exist, that we are here. How many times do people feel invisible?
Yeah, a lot.
A lot, because no one is acknowledging them. And there are two cost-efficient, simple ways to acknowledge people. The first one is looking people in the eye when you're talking to them. The eye is a window of the soul. You're saying, I see you. I am recognizing you as the unique individual that's here with me.
Mm-hmm.
The second way, Kat, is to use people's names. Yes. Use their names, because that is something personal and unique to that person, even though there may be 100 Catherines. I don't know how many cats. I do know a couple of cats, people with that name, but still none of them are you. You the cat, you know. So when you use a person's name, again, you're saying, I see you, I recognize you as an individual, not a number. Not blending into a crowd. When you're at a store and someone helps you or checking you out, look for their name tag and say, Kat, I hope you have a good day today. Use a person's name that acknowledges them. And there's mm-hmm. a whole bunch more to that. But, you know, I've got a PDF. Paper, ebook, whatever you want to call it. Do you call an ebook if it's got 4 pages? I don't know.
I guess technically.
It's got pictures and words. It's a book. But I've got it on my website, that how to claim yourself. And awesome. Then in the other, how to claim your family and in your church on my website. Those are complimentary. So you can get that if you want to. Look at more can be said about this. What is the I? And it's okay. This is the one that has two words, but they both start with an I.
They both start with an I? Oh man, I had a problem with this last time.
This is so encouraging that it impressed you so much that you remember it.
Can we just say that having children means I don't have a good memory?
Do you know, I heard that every time you birth a child, you lose a fourth of your brain.
Oh,
so
goodness.
I'm working at negative brain, your whole brain.
That's true. You definitely have me beat. Let's see. Included. I know that's not two words. I cannot think of two I's.
That is okay. And included is what people feel like when they're chosen. But invested in.
Invested in. Okay.
People want to know that you are investing in them. And this can be, sure, you can invest with money. If you're a boss, you can give them a raise. You can give them a bonus. You can give your child an allowance. You can invest in them with mm-hmm. money. You can invest in someone with resources.
Mm.
You ask True. Someone to do something, and then you don't give them any tools to work with to get it accomplished.
Yeah.
And the other way you invest within people is with your time, which is more valuable. You can always make more money, but you can't make more time.
So true.
All the seconds that have happened since we started this podcast are gone. We can't make them again.
Yeah.
So investing in people, and one of the best ways to invest in people in time, and you know, children spell love, T-I-M-E. So spending time with a person, the most valuable part of spending time with someone is in a conversation and listening. Asking them questions and listen.
Mm-hmm.
And ask a follow-up question. Oh, tell me more. Oh, what else?
Yeah. Be engaged.
Be engaged. And if you rearrange the letters of listen, did we talk about this?
We did.
And you know the answer?
It makes the word silent.
Yes.
Which I thought was so interesting.
Yes. So to listen properly, you have to be silent, which means not only not talking, it means that your brain is not talking either. As soon as I finish saying that, I want to come back with this point.
Yeah.
Listening, that's talking in your head. Also, as soon as this is over, how can I get away from this conversation? Because I've got to go to the store and get listening either.
Yeah.
Silent. Silentless. And watching their body language, being attentive to what their gestures are and where their eyes are moving. And, you know, that is, yay, you remember that. Do you feel better?
I did.
The M is, it's 2 3-letter, 3-word phrases or 1 word.
Oh,
yeah, man. 3 chances to get this one right.
Be claimed.
People want to know that they
matter.
Yes, that's the 1 word. Yeah.
Okay.
Because I mean, don't we all?
Yeah.
Don't we all want to know that if I were not here, somebody would miss me? People want to know that they'd be missed. The 2 3-word phrases are, people really in their deepest part want to know that they're made for greatness.
Mm.
And that they are making a difference.
Yeah.
I believe that every single person is made for greatness. Now, this isn't a motivational speech to make you decide that you're going to go start a new Facebook or... What that means is, I believe every single person was put here on the earth for a specific purpose. You are gift wrapped with your skills, abilities, passions, experiences, good or bad, and wrapped together to be this gift to the world, to be that one puzzle piece in the jigsaw puzzle of the history of the world that only you can fit in. Sometimes people feel like, well, I'm just one of many. I'm just a cog in the wheel. Well, if that cog wasn't working, if that one puzzle piece is not in the jigsaw puzzle where only it can fit, only the colors match, the picture's not complete.
Yeah.
Don't. It doesn't help if you go sit on top of somebody else's space. You're not contributing. And nobody can fill your space in this world but you, with your gift wrap skills, talents, passions, experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And I want people to know that they are made for greatness in that sense. Look for what it is that you can offer, like I quote Judy Garland, why be a second-rate version of someone else when you can be a first-rate version of yourself?
I love that.
So also, people want to know that they're making a difference. If you are being your greatness, you will make a difference. And your difference may be to one person.
Mm-hmm.
It might be only one person that you're making a difference with, but that one person may be the person that gets a cure for cancer. I mean, yeah. You don't know the impact you're making, but you can't make that impact that person needs if you haven't brought your gift to the world.
Mm-hmm.
They're waiting for your gift. And don't deny them that. And the fact that people want to know they matter. And here's an exercise I give business leaders, and it could work with a family, or it could work with any person, it could work with yourself. Stop and think. If somebody that's on your team at work or in your family wasn't there, what would be missing?
Mm-hmm.
What would be missing? And say you're on a committee and there's this person that is, guys, we haven't answered this question yet. What are we, and they keep, they're the C personality, the detail person, and everybody else in there's a, let's think about the ideators. Nothing would get accomplished if that person wasn't on the committee. So
yeah.
you reach out and say, I'm so glad you're the squirrel hunter. You kill the squirrels. You have the squirrel gun and you're getting rid of the squirrel so we can stay on task. Thank you. Or maybe there's somebody that always comes with a smile and encourages everybody. Thanks for bringing your positive attitude. Just stop and think about the people, the friends that you have.
Mm-hmm.
Why do they matter? What difference are they making? And when is their greatness shining? And acknowledge that they're made for greatness. Acknowledge, invest time to think about it and love them enough to choose them to acknowledge how they matter. So yeah. They're all facets, but they fit together. And you can't, like a diamond, it's got this many facets. Well, let me take this facet. It doesn't work. It's stuck on there. It's part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So that is claim your people.
I absolutely love that. And I love that you came up with that. And there was this beautiful way to wrap it all together because it is true, right? And I do feel like especially lately, there are so many distractions and so many ways for us to focus on things that don't matter, that we are losing that touch and that connection and that personability that we used to have with everyone. And I do see more and more people that keep searching for it. It's just unfortunate that it's not always in the right place.
Yes. And I wish I had the statistic. I'm kind of glad I don't. But the rise in suicide recently,
mm-hmm.
in the last couple of years, it's because people want to be claimed. They want to belong somewhere.
Yeah.
We need to be attentive to the people that are lost and claim them.
Yeah, very true. And I believe that it's something that needs to be taught to the younger generation. I mean, I have an 18-year-old and a 15-year-old. And, a lot of the people that they are around that influence them the most, while I wish that was me, is the people that they are around at school. And even at school, you're starting to see so many kids, unless they're involved in like a sport, right, that are excluded from a lot of things or don't have a really great friend connection, because even if you do, your friends are on their phone and they're on social media or they're on their video games. There's not a lot of interaction when it comes to that. And I do feel like that is a failure part on us parents that have allowed that to be that space because we were too busy or we don't feel like we have the time. And we have created a society where people are extremely disconnected. You know, like you said, suicide is on the rise. Depression is on the rise. Anxiety is on the rise because so many people, especially because of 2020, have felt such an isolation.
One of the saddest scenes is if I'm out, maybe looking at beautiful scenery, or even I had an opportunity, my husband and I, to go to Portugal for Christmas.
Ooh.
And the traveling and seeing all these different people and being on these incredible places with fabulous scenes. And to look down and somebody's pushing a stroller and the child is on an iPad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad that there were no iPads when my children were little. We did have the boob tube TV. Go watch this cartoon every once in a while.
Yeah.
People are not learning social skills.
Yeah, very true.
Even the ones we mentioned today, when you're talking to someone, look at them and look mm-hmm. them in the eye and use their name. Those are two forgotten social skills.
Yeah. Yeah. Or appreciation in general. I know that, funny enough, my husband and I, we went to a restaurant a few weeks ago to pick up some food. And as we were leaving, a gentleman had held the door open for several people. And when we walked by, we both said, thank you. And it was funny because I heard him and there was a lady that I guess was sitting in the inside and they had been chatting. And he said, look, 2 out of 5 actually said, thank you. And I thought, now how hard is that to walk through a door and utter 2 words? But it's very common, right? We are so surrounded in ourselves that we don't even notice people around us. And so I believe that we've created a culture where everyone basically is just doing, but no one is actually being. There is no presence in any moments. And a lot of that is because of the things that have shifted, things that have changed. But to be honest, I think because society's kind of gotten lazy when it comes to doing certain things. You know, when my kids were younger and even now, we go hiking, we go out in the woods, we go and do things. I'm constantly doing stuff to stimulate their mind because we do need those outside pieces. And it's a way to have a conversation and to learn instead of being so vested in front of whatever device is in front of you.
You hit it right about how our world operates now. People do not have family meals like they used to.
Yeah.
A high percentage, I wish I could remember the details, of American families eat their food in their car, have their meals in their car. They go through a drive-thru. But I understand our life is so, I mean, I had a season where I had 4 children playing summer softball at 3 different ballparks. And dropping them off and then going and I really didn't get to watch any games because I was just taking everybody everywhere.
Yeah.
So, that is the pace of our life. But one simple, but not easy. I invite you to take up this task of one simple, but not easy. Is to have a family meal. And if you're not regularly sitting around the table right now, then do it at least once a week.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when all of ours were little and people were around, we had it every day.
Yeah.
during that time, you ask questions and what? Listen in silence while they answer and find out all kinds of things. But the rule is no electronics at the table.
Yep.
At least for that time. And also to have screen breaks. No screens during this particular time. Mm-hmm. We are going to have quiet time this time. I have a young friend. I think she finally turned 40. That's young to me. She has eight children. Eight children. She homeschools them all. They teach music lessons from their home. And from I don't know how long, every day, there is a 1 hour quiet time.
Mm.
You have to be in your bed or in your room, reading, writing, creating for an hour. You can take a nap, whatever. Yeah. We need that. We need a break to just say, I'm just going to sit here and think.
Or we
do. I'm going to go sit outside and watch the birds.
Yeah. Our creativity has definitely been taken away from us, and it's not by force. It's just because of all of the distractions that we do have in front of us. It's funny that you say that, because my husband and I were just talking about that and looking for different hobbies for us to try, because as you become an adult, being creative is kind of frowned upon, right? You're supposed to do your job. You're supposed to be here at this time, and then you go home, and then that's the end of it. But when you're children, you're taught to have an imagination. And what's interesting is even Einstein talks about that. You have to have an imagination. That's where the brilliance comes from. So, you know, my husband and I have been looking for things that we can do that are outside of our comfort zone that can push us to try different things so that we can have some fun, because everything can become so mundane, and then you just become so stuck in your routine and your regular habits that you forget what it means to enjoy yourself, to think outside of the box. And I think that that's something that we do lack currently.
Totally. I have two little booklets that I wrote about parenting. I plan to do it 5 different books. I've gotten 2 done so far that are on Amazon. One of them is Supporting Visionary Dreamers.
Mm.
Because children they are a fertile field of vision.
Yeah.
And I might have, and I'm not going to say I was perfect with this. I might have said one time, oh, you can't do that. But if any of my children ever said, I want to do something, it was like, okay,
mm-hmm.
What's that look like? How can I support you? You know, that, whatever it is, and keep that creativity alive. And you're right. Once we get into adulthood and then we have all these adulting things we have to do, we forget to play.
Yeah.
One of the workshops I can do with a group of people wanting to build community is, well, it really should be called a play shop. Some games to play to build community and belonging. Mm-hmm. And as I work with business leaders who can impact their culture, if it's somebody that has to do exactly what the management says, then let me talk to upper management. But building a culture of belonging, there are ways to reignite our childish creativity.
Mm-hmm.
Childlike. It's not childish.
I got what you meant, but no, it does. It makes sense. And it is something that I do believe that we do need in our society, because everyone is so tense and so stifled that we do need things to lighten up the mood. It doesn't always have to be so serious. It doesn't always have to be so hard or so rushed. And that's something that honestly we can learn from a lot of other cultures or in different areas, like over in Europe, where they take longer lunches or they have 4-day work weeks. You know, I got to take a trip to Mexico last year, and we specifically made sure that the hotel we rented was a boutique hotel in one of the downtown areas and not a resort, so that we could immerse ourselves in their culture. And I have to say that was one of the best things that I've ever done. And I love learning about people anyway, but just to see the closeness or the happiness and everyone doing their own thing and being creative and enjoying what they do. And that's something that I do feel like, especially as Americans, like we lack a lot of that because we are so stuck in this robotic way of doing things.
I appreciate it. I got to visit my daughter, one of my daughters. She and her husband were teaching at an English speaking boarding school in northern India.
Oh, wow.
Woodstock. It's fabulous up in the, it was just beautiful. Every day, Monday through Friday, the teachers have tea time.
Aww.
And they all gather in this place and just stop for an hour, have tea, maybe somebody brings some refreshments. Of course, when I was there, having owned a tea room, I got to cater a full afternoon tea.
That's awesome.
Why haven't we got that as part of our culture?
Yeah, definitely.
Just taking a break, having tea time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely something that's needed in our lives. So anybody listening, taking 15 or 20 minutes out of your day is not going to ruin it.
It is not. And it is choosing yourself and giving yourself love.
Yeah.
To acknowledge you need to take that time away and invest the time because mm-hmm. you matter.
Yeah.
Have your tea time.
Love that. Okay. So then before we end, because I could talk to you all day.
This one is so fun.
What is one piece of positivity or a quote or something that you find yourself going back to that you would like to share with the audience?
Well, I have a quote that I use in a sea of humanity. Belonging is a shore of security, love, and identity.
Ooh.
People are out there drowning. Give them a shore of belonging where they can find security, love, and identity. And the last thought is you cat, and anybody watching this, you are made for greatness. Go give the world your greatness.
I love that. Thank you so much, Dia, for being a part of this today. I've loved having you here. So before we end, please share where everybody can find you, connect with you, follow you online.
The simplest way is I made my website as easy as possible if you can spell my name. DiaErby.com. Boom. There it is. From there, you can schedule a chat with me and you can find my links to other pages. You can find my complimentary resources that I mentioned, the ebooks that are all of 4 pages or whatever. Anyway, that's probably the best way. And I am on all socials, so you can find me all over there.
Love it. Thank you so much. Well, I am so happy that you were with me today. I love this conversation. So thank you again so, so much.
Kat, you're a fabulous podcast host, and it was my pleasure.
I appreciate that. And to everybody else listening, I really hope you got some amazing takeaways and you realize that it's okay to maybe take a break and learn to choose yourself and give yourself that time to make sure that you understand that you yourself matter so that you can give that to others. And as always, don't forget, do one thing to impact somebody else's life positively every day, and you will see the change that it makes in yours. So until next time, thank you so much for joining us and have a fantastic day.
Hello again, and thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. If you absolutely loved what you heard, please be sure to subscribe, share, and leave a review so we can keep the good stuff rolling. Got something you'd love to hear us discuss? Then be sure to message me on social media and let's work together to spread even more amazing content. And if you haven't yet connected with me on social media, be sure to follow along at Agent Services Plus. I'm so excited to connect with you on the next episode, and until next time, be sure to find things that help you learn, grow, and be inspired.